This Christmas season, we are going to be presenting a new 5-part series on Sunday mornings called The Big Give. And that starts today, and it will conclude, Lord willing, it will conclude Christmas Eve with the Christmas Eve service on the 24th at 6 p.m. And the series is inspired by John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:16 off by heart? Yeah, it's probably the most memorized passage or verse of Scripture. I'm quite confident it probably is. Unless maybe the only other one I can think that might be more memorized is John 11:33, which says Jesus wept. I think that's John 11:33, I think, somewhere in there. No, John 3:16 is dearly loved, succinct. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can still remember one of the profs at school saying, you are never more like God than when you give. You are never more like God than when you give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. This Christmas we want to understand give. Not just money, not just even our time or our talents either, but giving of ourselves. Because this makes giving about compassion. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Compassion is caring enough to do something about someone else's need. So it's giving of ourselves. This morning, in the next little bit, I want for us to understand what compassion is and what it means to give of ourselves, and to understand that it needs to be motivated by grace. Because if our compassion is not motivated by grace, then it becomes self-promoting, self-seeking, and self-serving, and so really it ceases to be compassion. We can call it compassion, but if it's not motivated by grace, then it's not really compassion, because it's really not about anyone but ourselves. And so we want to learn together, as God helps us, what makes compassion compassion. Because it's about our motives, and motives matter most. Motives matter most. So in order to do that, we're going to have to look to God, because God is the giver. He's the big giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay, I've been talking for a couple of minutes. I'll give you something to do. I want you to think about this. Here's a question for you. Are you a compassionate person? I want you to think about that. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 1, as I mentioned, and we're going to read through Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Very familiar passage where the angel Gabriel is sent to Mary in Nazareth. Luke chapter 1, and we will have it on the screen if you want to read off the screen. And verse 26 down through to verse 38, we're going to read. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And verse 38 says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Lord, we pray that you would bless these words to our lives today. And we thank you for them in Christ's name. Amen. The passage begins in the sixth month. Sixth month of what? Elizabeth's sixth month. She was in her sixth month. And, of course, as we read on the passage, we see that. And if you read in the context prior, you can read the story of Elizabeth. And what was her husband's name? Zechariah. And the angel also was sent to them prior to and made an announcement that they would have a son also. And his name would be John. And he would become known as John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. He was Jesus. There's some question as to whether he would be Jesus' first cousin or exactly how that went, but it seems fairly likely. Sometimes the words for near relative were used in general terms in biblical times. Anyways, it's the sixth month, and God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. So God sends this distinguished messenger, to the town of Nazareth. Some versions have city of Nazareth. Terms like city and town are kind of relative terms. We have probably have set amounts when a town becomes a city or whatever, but in biblical times they didn't have that. And so, in fact, if you were to be transported back in time to Nazareth, you probably would refer to it as a village. And I was privileged to actually be able to walk the streets of ancient Nazareth and walk through the excavations that they have done there and to see the olive press and the ancient olive trees there. And it's quite an interesting place to visit. Nazareth was an obscure village in Galilee. And the obscurity of Nazareth is well known. You guys are, I know it's my voice has this melodic quality to it that puts people to sleep, but that was a pun. Yeah, Kathy got it. Okay, that's all right. The obscurity of Nazareth is well known. Okay, Nazareth was a small village off the beaten path, up a winding path in the hillside of Galilee. And it was a great place for the Savior of the world to grow up under the radar. And that's what he did. He grew up under the radar. So that was Nazareth. Over in John chapter 1, when Jesus was searching out his first disciples, we read there, it says that Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael's response was, Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And these are all Galileans. These are all Galileans talking about a town in Galilee. See, that's how obscure and how admired the village of Nazareth was. It was nowhere. It was a backwater. It was, isn't it interesting, though, the prejudices we have as people? The Judeans look down on the Galileans. The Galileans look down on anyone from Nazareth, and they all look down on the Samaritans. It's like the world becomes this great, big, comprehensive pecking order. And everyone who receives some kind of ranking. And it's still true today, you know. It's like we have this caste system. Everyone needs somebody to pick on. Everybody needs to find somebody that they can look down on. so they can feel better about themselves. You know, a lot of things have changed over the last 2,000 years, and this hasn't changed. Because people are still like that today. I find in our flesh, we're like that. We like to compare ourselves with one another, and we do this. And the world would define you. The world would define you, and the world would put you and assign you a place and a ranking and a worth if you are willing to accept that. And I wonder this morning how many of you are willing to accept that. How many of you are willing to accept the place the world assigns you, the ranking the world gives you? How many of you are willing to listen to the message that the world has for you and to say, okay, I'll live with that? That's true, Gene. But I wonder sometimes how many of us really live that out. Because we have a tendency to listen when the world speaks. The angel comes to Mary with a different message. Mary was a young girl who grew up in an obscure village in Galilee. She was one of thousands of young girls. Probably, how old are you, Shania? 16? Yeah, probably around Shania's age. Thousands of young girls growing up in Israel in those days. She was one of thousands, and probably not feeling any more significant than anyone else. And God sends the angel Gabriel, and in verse 27 it says that God sent Gabriel to Nazareth to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." That's a different message. That's definitely a different message than what you will get from the Lord, from the world, if you listen to the world and the world has to say to you. Now, we often get the wrong idea about Mary. I think we get the wrong idea about a lot of biblical characters. And we certainly get the wrong idea about Mary as she's often portrayed in our stories and in our thoughts and songs and so on. And we think that God probably sought Mary out because she was a cut above everybody else. That there was everybody else, every other young virgin girl in Israel, and then there was Mary. I would suggest to you that that is just absolutely not true. I don't want to disparage Mary, but Mary was a sinner. She was the mother of our Lord, but she was a sinner just like everyone else. I hope you can understand that. There is absolutely nothing in this passage or any passage in the Bible that says that Mary was an outstanding, virtuous woman beyond others in her generation. At least I've never been able to find anything. And you may have heard the expression, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Have you ever heard that expression? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, so is grace. Grace is in the eye of the beholder. What is grace? The shortest definition of grace you've ever heard. Unmerited favor. You memorize that, Doug. That's two words. That's like Jesus wept. Yeah. That works for me. Simple works. Unmerited favor. It's short, but it's good. Yeah. Unmerited favor. That's what grace is. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't get that. Because we're all about this here pecking order system thing where we compare ourselves with one another and we, we give to get and all. We have all those things going on, right? But God doesn't operate that way. Paul says this in Romans chapter 11. He says, "If by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." The moment you put any kind of merit or try to inject any kind of merit whatsoever into grace, it ceases to be grace. You've just effectively changed it into something else. And I'm sure that Mary was a beautiful young girl. But it's really important that we understand this. When God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, he sent her to Mary who was one of us, just like you, just like me. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Mary was greatly troubled, it says in verse 29, and at his words, and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. And you can appreciate that. I don't know how many of you have ever had any kind of an encounter that would be similar to this, but sometimes we read words in the Bible like greatly troubled, and I don't know, words just don't seem to accurately convey or capture what's really going on sometimes. But she probably was in shock. And so that's why the angel says in verse 30, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God." So he's repeating himself, because he's already said that. But we should expect that that's likely going to happen, because this is no average kind of day that Mary's having. It's not every day that you get the angel Gabriel coming to visit you and telling you that you found favor with God. So he repeats himself and he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you found favor with God." And then the message comes. And here's the message, Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Any young girl growing up in Israel would have known the implications of what the angel just said. But for us, it's living this side of the cross of Calvary, it's maybe a little bit harder to get wrap our minds around this. But let me paraphrase for you the angel's message. If I could put it in the most common terms, it would probably be something like this. Mary, you know all those promises? Do you know all those promises you've been taught ever since you were a little girl sitting on your father's knee about how someday Messiah would come? The Holy One, and that God would give him the throne, that he would ascend to the throne of David, and he would sit on the throne of David, and he would deliver his people, and that there would be lasting peace in Israel forever. Do you know those promises, Mary? Yeah? Okay, well, get ready to have him. To which Mary responds in verse 34, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Maybe you could picture Mary kind of at this time. For some of us, it might be easier than others to imagine what that would have been like for her. But I can kind of picture Mary kind of looking over her shoulder, wondering maybe Mary's a very common name even today, but it was even more common in Israel. Like maybe this angel's got the wrong Mary. Hey, it happens. I don't know if it happens with angels, but it happens with everybody else. Somebody was just telling me yesterday, but somebody took a whole transport truckload of seafood all the way to California, Los Angeles, only to discover once they got it there that it was L.A., Louisiana. Right? It happens. And I can picture Mary kind of saying, what address are you looking for anyway? Because I think you might have the wrong address. I'm a virgin. You got the wrong girl. Maybe somebody has told you that God has plans for you, and maybe you've reacted in a similar way. Maybe you've said things like, "How can this be?" Or maybe you say it like this, "I don't think so." I don't think so. I think you got the wrong person. Because I hear all the time, people say it, I could never do that. Other people maybe, but when it comes to me, that's not going to happen. What is it when God set us to do something, sets out to do something in our lives, and we respond with those words? What is that? Doubt? Pardon? Disobedience? Where do you think it stems from? Fear? A lot of fear in our lives, isn't there? I think there's some pride in there too. It might be inverted pride, but it is prideful. Think about it. When I respond and say, "No, not you know, not me. What am I really saying? What I'm really saying is, I'm different. I'm not like everybody else. I'm unique. I'm one of a kind. It might be true of everybody else. It could be true of anybody else, but not me. Why? Well, because I'm not like everybody else. Yes, you are. Not in every way, but when it comes to the ways that matter, you're very much like everybody else. I don't want to totally ruin your day, but you're like me. And I'm like you. But it's not easy to believe when God shows up in your life and he has a message for you. And God is showing up because God is here in this room today and he has a message for you. Are you going to hear it? Luke 1:35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God." You know, I never realized it before. I've read this passage many, many times, like probably most of you or many of you. And I never really connected this as before, but that's a clear reference to the Trinity, isn't it? I don't know why. All kinds of passages throughout the Bible, make reference to the three in one, but I never really picked it out of this passage before. But you have, it says, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That's the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, which was kind of cool. So this is the response that the angel gives to Mary when Mary says, "How will this be? I don't understand." Mary said, "I don't understand allowing you to have the right person." And I'm not 100% sure on that right now. But I don't understand how this can happen. And so the angel says, "Well, I'm going to tell you how it will happen. The short answer is God. The long answer is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Eternal Son." And then he says in verse 36 and 37, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month." How is this going to happen? Seeing as how I'm a virgin? And the angel says, "You think that's something?" Check this out. Elizabeth is already expecting in her sixth month. And she's way beyond childbearing years. And then the real kicker, verse 37. "For nothing is impossible with God." That's the short answer. God. How can this be? I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can see. I don't know if I can see that. I don't know if I can accept that. How does that work anyway? Short answer, God. Because nothing's impossible with God. That's one of the main thrusts of this passage, is that understanding that when God shows up in your life and makes some kind of a statement or tells you that something has happened or is happening or will happen, and you find yourself having questions as to how that can possibly be, then that speaks directly to the issue of our faith in God and who he is and what he is able to do. I think Mary's answer is really, really important. She says in verse 38, and this is the last verse we're going to look at there, but, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. The angel left her because she got it. What she got was that it wasn't about her. It wasn't about what she had done. It wasn't about what she could do, and it wasn't about what she would do. It wasn't about her ability. It wasn't about her qualifications. It wasn't about anything that made her different from anybody else. And if you want to mark something in your Bible, if you're taking notes, if you're making notes, you might want to to put some emphasis on those words, may it be as you have said. Because that's what Mary said to the angel. May it be as you have said. In other words, Mary got it. She reached that place. Beyond the initial shock and fear and wondering. And yes, Gabriel had to repeat himself once. But how many times does he have to repeat himself to you or to me? How many times does God have to say something to you or I before we're willing to say what Mary said? Before we get it and can say along with Mary, may it be to me as you have said. Okay, I got it. And the angel said, my work here is done. And he left. Because his work was done. Because angels in the Bible are messengers. That's their primary purpose. They are messengers. And Mary got the message. What was the message that Mary got? The message that Mary got was it's not about her, wasn't about her, wasn't about anything she did, wasn't about anything she would do, wasn't about anything she would do, anything she could do. It wasn't about her abilities, wasn't about her qualifications. Because it wasn't about her. It's about God. Because the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. Nothing, verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Think about the objections that Mary could have offered. Think about the consequences to the message of the angels. Think about all of what changed in Mary's life from that moment of time on. You know, it's like you're going along your life and you've got thoughts and plans and ideas and worries and fear and pride and all the things that make up our human experience. And you're going along and suddenly something happens and it changes the rest of your entire life in just about every way you could possibly imagine. That's what happened to Mary. And in a moment of an encounter between her and a messenger from God, Mary said, as she looked where her life was heading, her whole entire life, growing up, all of her expectations as to what life was going to be like, and suddenly in a moment of time, God shows up and says, Mary, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be like this. And Mary's initial response was, I don't understand how that can be. So the angel repeated himself one more time. And he added these statements. He says, nothing is impossible with God. And she got it. I wish we were all that quick. I wish we were all that willing and ready to hear those words and respond the way Mary responded. So let me ask you another question this morning. When you think about your life, I can smell soup. So I'm going to cut this short. Yeah, that's why you sat close to the door, isn't it, Gordon? Yeah. When you think about your life, when you think about what you're going to do, when you think about what your life's going to be like, when you think about what your life can be like, should be like, or even what your life is like, do you think of it in terms of what you can do, what you should do, what you have done, what you might do, what you want to do? Is that your paradigm? Is that how you think? How you see, how you feel? Because God comes with a different message. That is the message of the world, because the world ingrains that. It's the message the world preaches. It's constantly, it's everywhere. It's in the entire system of the world. The world comes to you and says, this is your life. Live with it. The world defines you. It tells you who you are and what you are and what you can do and what you can't do. But God has a different message. And I think that I know we're not Mary, but like I said, Mary was really just like us. And God came to Mary and said, it's not going to be like that. And I believe that God would come to each of us if we would listen with a very similar message. It's not going to be like that. And I think our response is probably similar to Mary's. Well, how can that be? I don't understand. You know, I look at my life and I see this and I see that and I figure this and I figure that and I don't understand this and I don't understand that. And so maybe God has to repeat himself. Because we are thinking of our lives in terms of us. But it's not about us. It's not about us and what we can do or what we have done. It's not about what you've done. You might be sitting here thinking, well, I've got a pretty consistent track record and it ain't all that great. And God would say to you, that doesn't matter. Now, that's not what the world would tell you, because the world would tell you that's the only thing that matters. But God would say that, you know what, that doesn't matter. It's not like I don't know, God would say. I mean, I know everything you've done and every thought you've ever had. I'm not telling you I don't know what you've done. I'm just saying that if you will listen to me, that doesn't matter. And you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, well, I know what I can do and what I can't do. No, you don't. You don't know. You're not God. God only knows those things. But are you willing to hear God? Are you willing to listen to God? If God were to speak to your heart this morning and say, hey, I have a plan for your life. And it's not the plan the world has. It's not like the plan the world has, because the world wants to define you like this. The world wants to define you on the basis of what you can do and what you've done and what you think you can do. But see, the problem is that that's all about you, and that's not the way God works. Because with God, nothing is impossible. But will you hear that? Will you, can you allow God to create faith in your heart to say, may it be unto me as you have said. I accept that. It's really a simple message, isn't it? That's where grace starts. When the angel came to Mary, and I have to be careful when I start paraphrasing, but I'm going to do it anyway. Mary, it's not about you. It's about God. Because with God, nothing is impossible. It's not based on what you do. It's not based on what you've done. It's not based on what you think you can or can't do. It's about what I can do. It's about what God can do. So when you come to God, in your relationship with the Lord, when you think about your relationship with the Lord, what is the basis for that relationship? Is it grace? If you're sitting here today and I'm going to ask you to do this, I'm going to ask you to think about your relationship with God. Do you have one? Do you think you have one? Is it based on grace? Is your relationship with God, in your way of thinking, does it consist of an arrangement where you do what you think you're supposed to do, and that God looks down from heaven and says, wow! Because God never says, wow, but, or at least I've never seen him say wow in there, but, because that doesn't happen, right? It's a totally different focus, isn't it? I don't know. Do you ever try to explain God's grace? It's like so amazing, isn't it? So wonderful. And he has that for you and for me. But will we receive it? That's the question. I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I lead you in prayer in just a moment, which I'm going to do, I'm going to hopefully catch some of you on your way out, and those of you who can stay for a bite, get maybe a chance to chat with you some. But I need for you to hang in for another minute here, because this subject about your relationship with God being based on his grace is absolutely, totally, completely critical. If you miss this, you miss the whole thing. It's so vital and so critical that Jesus said, if you miss this, you ain't going to get in. So the kingdom of God will be shut up to you, and you will not get in the gate. You won't even make it past the front door if you don't get this. This is how important this is. God didn't look down from heaven and see Mary and say, wow. God sent Gabriel to Mary and said, Mary, this isn't about you. This is about God. This is about what God can do in your life. You can't have a relationship with God based on what you have done, what you are doing, what you think you can do, or what you think you're able to do. It doesn't work that way. If you have a relationship with God according to the Bible, it'll be only for one reason alone. That's because God be gracious to you. And he gives you a gift. And he gives you a gift. And you don't earn that. You don't merit that. There's nothing in you that warrants God to give you that. He just does it because that's the kind of God he is. And it's not about you. It's about him. It's about his grace. It's a gift. And when we talk about the big give, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about God, the big giver, who gives gifts. And you don't earn a gift, but you do receive it by faith. You reach out your hands, as it were, and you say, God, may it be unto me according to what you have said. And I wonder this morning, as we take this last few moments, if you might be here and you've never done that. If you've never, in simple faith, said to God, as you know, God, may it be unto me according to what you have said. I wonder if you might consider doing that this morning, because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. When you hear that verse and you say, God, may it be unto me according to what you have said, Jesus says, that's the door. That's the way in. And you can step through that door this morning. Simple faith. I pray that you will. And I encourage you, maybe you would join with me in prayer even now. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for this tremendous group of people, and thank you, Lord, for their attentiveness. And God, I appreciate those who are here this morning that I know and love so much. But Lord, only you can see into our hearts. And so, Father, as I've tried to bring some thoughts out of this passage of Scripture that would give you the glory that you deserve, Lord, I pray that you would take these words, this passage of Scripture that teaches that it is about you and your ability and not us, that it's a gift, that you come to us as a gift, and that you offer yourself as a gift, that you offer your Son, Jesus Christ, that you give him, that you gave him upon the cross so that we could have eternal life. And Lord, help us to open our heart's door wide to receive from you, even this morning, the gift of eternal life. For those who may be here, Lord, that have not yet reached out by faith and taken that gift, I pray, Lord, that they would even right now, that they would say in their hearts, oh God, may it be unto me according to what you have said. Because you said in your word that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. And that all we need to do is to accept, to believe. And that we will have eternal life. May it be unto me according to as you have said. I accept you, Lord Jesus. I accept the gift of eternal life. Thank you for this time, Lord, and for your people, and for this incredible Christmas season. As we're learning how to give, Lord, may we first understand what it means for you to have given your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.